This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Well, would you believe it? It's that time of the week again. Monday morning, it's Knife Talk. Hello, how are you all? We are the podcast. If you're into knives in any way, whether you're a maker, a collector, or just somebody who's got a weird, morbid fascination with knives, this is the show for you. Hosted by myself, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, Jeff Fader of Fader Knives, and normally we have Mareko Momasi of Momasi Fire Arts. He's still away. He's been doing a bit of travelling with Blade Show and all the rest of it. I've been told he is back next week, which is great. But yeah, it's just myself and Jeff again this week. So Jeff, how are things?
I'm great. I feel good.
Recovered from last weekend?
I had a great time at Blade Show, We have a lot to get to. I have a Blade Show report to give you. We talked to a lot of people, and we have to give you a full report. We have questions. We have a news story. We have feedback. I got a message from a few big knife makers who direct messaged me. Texted me, who said that last week's episode was fantastic. So,
oh, great.
So I just wanted to let you know. But I went to Blade Show last weekend, but I only went for Saturday, thanks to Maritime Knife Supply. We got plenty to talk about. And then Saturday, I came back Sunday night, got home at 2:30 in the morning, and then I did a 5K race on Sunday morning.
A race or a poodle around the park?
No, it was like a 5K. It was here's the problem. There's a guy in front of me who annoyed me. And at the end, he was like doing his lap of, before we hit the, you know, 100 yards from the finish line, he started doing his victory lap. And I had to blow past him. Well, that might have been a big mistake. I did blow past him, but it might have been a huge mistake because something's going on with my knee. So actually tomorrow, Friday, I'm going to an orthopedic guy I made a mistake. I thought the real training for the marathon starts this coming week. We kind of count it backwards. It's 18 weeks. I got until basically July 1st to start in the training. So yeah. I got to go see an orthopedic guy to make sure that I don't have a tear or something like that. I got to figure out ways in which to train. I'm doing this marathon. How are you?
I'm good. I tell you what, I am. It's a very British thing to say, talk about the weather, but it is super, super hot. So it's been 35 degrees here today, which is, what's that in your foreign temperatures? It is,
let's say it's hot.
95, 96.
That's crazy. That's fucking mad.
It's been super hot. So yeah, it's been, balls out sitting next to the fans, you know? But no, it's good. It's good. I'm heading back to the UK tomorrow, early in the morning, just for the weekend, just till Monday. So that'll be fun. We got Father's Day coming up this Sunday, haven't we? So yeah, it's all good.
Oh, is it same Father's Day for you?
It is. Mother's Day is different. I mean, there's about 15 different Mother's Days around the world every year, but I think Father's Day is the same everywhere, I think.
That's because they only give us one day, right?
Exactly.
We get a short shift. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But listen, we don't have a lot of time.
Yes, let's get on with. Should we start with the report with Blade?
You were missed, and once again, people said to me, "How are we going to get Craig to come?" And I put my front two fingers next to my thumb and started wiggling them together. I said, "You got to pay the man. He got kids. He got a family. You know, it's a long way to go. You got to pay the man." But I had a great time. And let me tell you what's amazing. And we're not going to do a ton of Blade stuff because I know Mareko's going to be back next week, and I'm sure it was great to see him. I'm very fortunate I get to see him about every 6 months, which is awesome. He looked great. I saw a ton of friends. I was once again surprised at how many people came up to me and thanked me and you and Mareko for Knife Talk.
Oh, wow.
One guy said to me, "You make Mondays terrific." We took tons of pictures with Knife Talk listeners. There were a lot of people who were really big into Knife Talk, which was awesome, which is awesome.
Do you know what we need next year?
Go ahead.
Merch. You take merch with you.
Oh, fuck
no. None of this shipping stuff. You have a bag of merch, brown bag out the back. That's what we need.
Oh, my God. I cannot think of... I mean, that is the worst punishment you could give me. You know what I mean? You show up with a fucking bag of merch, and I'm, like, running away from, like, the Blade Show executives because I'm, trying to fucking brown bag shit.
Trying to get their cut.
Get banned. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. So here's how I do it. I like to go... Now this is the second year in a row. I take a 6 o'clock in the morning flight. I got to wake up at 2 o'clock in the 2:30 in the morning to get to the airport, and then I get into Atlanta by around 9, and then I take an Uber to the Cobb Center, and it was great. There's such a good vibe there. It is a crazy vibe, but it's a good vibe over there. And what was amazing was I got to see, I spent some time with all of our sponsors. The only sponsor that I didn't see there was Texas Ferry Supply. I must have missed them. But Ben Sechrist and Ryan were amazing. They have a lot of really amazing milestone business to Broadback. There's some new stuff that he don't even want me to talk about, but it's really, really exciting for him, and I was really excited for him, and it was just great to see him, and he was smiles. Everyone was around the Broadback booth.
Brilliant. We've got a message from Ben, an audio message, which I'll play out in a minute.
I know. We got the audio. It was great to see Ben. It was great to see Sean. It was great to see Ryan, it was awesome. I went over to Evenheat. Evenheat was fantastic. They were happy to see me. We had a lot of laughs. Spence and Quinn were there, and they listened to the podcast.
Really?
The dad. Oh yeah, at the shop. And then they told me that sometimes their dad who started it, Mike, is fantastic. He doesn't come anymore because he's just like, I can't be getting drunk with you guys anymore. Yeah. It's like on your own. Smart. Mike is smart. And he's just like, every so often you'll walk the room and you'll start laughing from some of the crazy shit you say. Now, that's fantastic. So the guys were thrilled. Carly and Damasteel were amazing. We had a great time with Carly and Damasteel. We had a real fun time talking to her. We had some Knife Talk listeners who brought there was a young guy named David. I'm going to put in the show notes. This great kid, David, and then the guy who won the Knife Talk Build Along from last year brought his knife, and they were fantastic. And Carly was fantastic. And then who else? I spent the day with Lawrence Lake. Fantastic. And then the Tormek guys came. The Tormek guys were outstanding. We had the only bad thing was the Blade Show gave Tormek a terrible booth. It was in the back room. It sucked. But we sent a ton of, there was a lot of Knife Talk people who went to Tormek, and they said, we listened to Knife Talk. So
good.
The State of the Union is good. Everything is good. And I want to tell you one last thing that I was very happy about. And I'm not going to tell you who it was from, but it was like some big muckety mucks that we don't necessarily deal with. I was told that you know how I say Knife Talk is the number one knife blade podcast in this German festival?
It's factual. You like it factual. Yeah, yeah.
It is now fact. It is. I've been doing that just because I'm like, someone got to say it. But now I'm people coming up to me and saying, all these other knife podcasts were second-rate versions of Knife Talk. That was one thing somebody said, unsolicited. And the other one said, some of these other ones I can't even listen to. So they were saying that Knife Talk meets the hype, and the sponsors are happy. We're good moving stuff. Product. Everything's good, dude. I'm saluting you, the commandant. We're doing it. We're doing the right thing.
But you know what? It's because we've been doing it for so long. I think that's why it works.
No.
Weirdly, I said to my daughters, I put them to bed tonight, and I said, I've got to go to work now. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm speaking to Jeff. And they were like, who's Jeff? And I was like, I don't really know. It's just a voice that I speak to once a week. It could be AI. I haven't got a clue. We've never met. It could be AI. Who knows?
I wish it was AI for this. I wish. But so here's the funny thing. So I was talking to one guy, and one guy says, I listen to some of these knife podcasts. They don't even talk about knife making. I said, I know. Listen, I know. And here's the funny thing is I refer to a lot of these guys as flea bags. I have finally, after, you know, what were we doing, eight years of this or something, 7-8 years of this?
Seven, 8 years,
you told me we got 250 episodes of Full Blast and 300, almost 400 episodes of Knife Talk. I have figured out how to make your podcast better, but I'm just not going to do it. I have an equation for making podcasts more listenable. I figured it out. I'll tell you off the air. I'm not telling these motherfuckers because there's thieves. But regardless, Blade Show was fantastic. Everybody was great. I only had one weird incident that I was not thrilled about. But if you want me to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about it.
Of course.
Well,
yes.
I mean, what did we talk about on what you do, the do's and don'ts of Blade? Oh, there was a couple of do's and don'ts I saw. I was over with Josh Prince. Fantastic. Josh Prince is unbelievable. He's sitting there. I'm talking to, I'm talking to Mertansu. I'm talking to all these great guys from all over the world. And I see this guy go up to Josh Prince's table, and he is picking stuff up and grabbing stuff and touching stuff. And I look over at Josh. I said, what are you going to do about it? And he starts laughing because I'm just like, I'm going crazy on the other side of the aisle. I'm like, this is outrageous. Who's going to stop this guy? He's totally crazy. But the weirdest thing that happened to me, and something that I've said with Mareko, is one of the things that is frowned upon is when you start introducing or talking to people in the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah, when they want to shake hands. Yeah.
I had one of our goons that I've known for a long time. He's a goofball. He's a goon. Goofball. Top of the line goofball.
Gold
I'm
star.
I'm going gold star goofball. Gold star goofball. I got nothing bad about him. He's just a fucking goofball. I'm in the bathroom washing my hands, and all of a sudden I hear, well, I guess they let anybody in here. And I turn around, and this goddamn goofball starts breaking my... He's getting too familiar, really, what it's coming down to. Yeah. I'm just in the bathroom. You know, bathroom should be a place of kind of like, you know...
Respect.
A safe space of like... Yes. You know, you're moments away from either taking your dick out or having a fart or... You know, and it gets to the point where I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to go to public bathrooms. I'm going to get fucking harassed. The best part was I saw red because I was like, God, I just want to wash my hands and get the fuck out of here, you know? There was a cop in there. Atlanta police with a sheriff, he had a bulletproof vest on him, the whole goddamn nine Jeez. Yards, like something's going to happen. And I don't know what came over me. And as soon as this guy, hey, let anybody in here, I go, officer. I don't know what's going to happen. This guy in Atlanta, I'm a New York guy. I think the officer's got a sense of humor. I don't know what's going to go on. I said, officer, this man's harassing me in the bathroom. You can't let this happen. This is outrageous. Luckily, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, someone's gonna go, end up in handcuffs, either me or him. And luckily the guy had a sense of humor, but I was just like, oh, that could have been gone. If that was you know, anywhere else, it could have been real bad. So yeah, so I tried to get I tried to hide that goon arrested, and unfortunately didn't stuff. Happen. But it was but other than that, it was amazing. And Carly was fantastic. Like I said, Carly, fantastic, even he guys. Everything was really great. You were missed. Right. And we do have to figure out a way for you to come down.
I mean, I'm sure we will eventually. How was business for everybody there? Were people moving stuff?
That's a fucking great question. And I wanted to bring it up. It was really hit or miss. And I was constantly talking to people from, you know, high-end bladesmiths to friends that we know, you know, different price points. And some people were getting killed. And some people were doing okay. From the wide swath of people I talked to, a lot of them were just like, it was just okay. You know, like some of them definitely said, this is the last time I'm doing this. And it was definitely very interesting. I also had a lot of interesting conversations with some of my suppliers in regards to tariffs. And I have some information between the steel guys and Lawrence gave me some real good information on how we deal with tariffs.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. The big issue with the tariffs, well, with steel guys, is, you know, a lot of the steel, like our AEBL, I didn't realize came from Germany. Our AEBL comes from Germany. There are other steels that come from France, all over Europe and stuff like that. Yeah. The New Jersey Steel Baron is not really, I don't think they're fooling around with China too much, but they're getting a lot of their steels from Europe and abroad, maybe probably Canada too. I'm not 100%. I talked to them for a while and they were kind of giving the broad strokes. There are all these different countries have different tariffs, so they're trying to figure out, and then everything's kind of arbitrary, and it's like the uncertainty of it all. It's kind of, it's a waste of a lot of these small businesses' time and energy because they're trying to figure out how to buy all this stuff. And now all of a sudden with the tariffs, they're having to take out loans to, you know, compensate for the fact that all of a sudden they have to do these things, and then they're bracing themselves to talk to the customers of the fact that the prices are about to go up. It's a giant headache, and that was something that I found very interesting in regards to that. And then in regards to when I was talking to Maritime, Lawrence, spent all day with Lawrence. You know what? Listen, the guy's smart, really, really, really smart. He said that because, you know, what he does is he's got basically a knife supply company, and he's got a, you know, like a warehouse, and he'll sell stuff out of Canada, and then he'll ship it all over Canada, but he'll ship it all over the United States too. The stuff that gets tariffed are the things that the origination of where they're made is from. So like if a file guide, I was talking to a friend of mine in Australia in regards to some file guides they had. The file guides are going to be tariffed because they're fabricated or they're manufactured in China. So you could get an order like from Maritime, and it could be a pile of stuff from Canada, or a pile of stuff from United States, and then this one thing on the, you know, from China, and you're going to get tariffed on that thing.
So some
from the,
stuff will be tariffed. Right, I got you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's based on the country of origin of where it's made. So this is a whole fucking production, and it's like it's affecting everybody, and a lot of small businesses are gearing up. I talked to my lumberyard in regards to they're kind of freaking out because they're ordering all this wood from Canada, and they're concerned about that. And it was a fascinating trip. I had there was a lot of great vibes, seeing a lot of people, like I said, lots of listeners of the podcast and lots of good buddies, like the Triple T podcast guys, Dennis and Jared were great. And Charlie Ellis and we had people who were giving me Knife Talk lines, and they were they were talking to me like I remember the conversation I had with you and for last week. And Jeremy Spake he listens all the time now. He's with Acre Forge, and we just had it was just really nice. And then I got the fuck out of there. You know?
Did you pick up anything nice?
I got some wood from my man Rob's Wildwood. You know, here's the thing: when you keep going and you keep these relationships with people, they remember you. So Rob knows that I like the fruity blue wood, and he saved me a bag because everybody ransacks him. So that was really great. We had a great time, and when Mareko comes, I'm sure we'll tell some more stories. I had a great time with him. He looks fantastic, and I know that he was happy to be there. I don't know what happened. The nightlife, I know that a lot of people were hungover. I'm not 100% sure who, but there are some people who are in a rough shape. I have some stories I won't go into, but there's some rough shape guys. You were missed. That's the most important part.
Right. Okay. Okay. Actually, let's move on with the show. Before we do, let's speak to one of our sponsors. Ryan from Broadback has a special message for everyone.
Hey, KTP and listeners, this is Ben, back with Fiery Ice Forge and Broadback Ironworks. We're in the last week of our Blade Show deal, ending June 22nd. Already live on the website with no discount codes needed, you can get 12% off on a 2x72 grinder package and attachments. The PH40 Power Hammer will get a free set of rounding dies for purchasing during the sale. These deals cannot be combined with other promos or discounts. Knife Talk 10 discount will resume on June 23rd. Brand new product alert. We have the new 60 grit incinerator belts, a structured ceramic belt that will last much longer than your typical ceramic belts. On all of our ceramics, we have a good anytime deal of 10% off of a $100 subtotal of those abrasives automatically at checkout. Always good to see you, Mareko and Jeff at Blade. Would love to meet Craig next year. Put it on the calendar now, and maybe we'll see you then. Signing off from Justin Todd.
There he goes.
Ben, where do they go to get these special, special deals? You had one job. You forgot to give the web address. BroadbackIronworks.com. Head on over. Head on over. That's it. They've got a new product there, which is their, do they call it an incinerator?
Yeah.
The 60 grit belts.
Yeah.
Head on over. Fill up your basket.
I have to tell you a funny thing. Ben is the man. Ben is awesome. I met him downstairs, and he gave me the ticket to get in to the Blade Show. Hmm. So he was texting me a couple days ago, and he goes, well, when, how much time? I said, you should keep doing audio messages. They're great. And he goes, well, I have one more. What's my deadline? I said, well, we're recording on Thursday, so you have, you know, you got 24 hours. You got to knock some out. So I think, I don't know how many variations he did. I think he did more than three takes of that. And it's hilarious that you said, you didn't even put it in BroadbackIronworks.com. But there was a ton of people around the Broadback Air booth.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And it was really, really cool. Everyone was really into it. So,
anything innovative? Not necessarily from our sponsors, but from anybody else. Anybody doing something different, anything new?
I saw a lot of knife makers who started out as hobbyists, who got really great booths. I know our man JD, JD Custom Knives, Knives by Nuge, was great to see him. I'll tell you one thing that was crazy to me. I was getting introduced by people, and they were introducing me to their wives. And more than three, probably five husbands would say, and this is my wife, so-and-so and such-and-such, so how do you do? And they, the husbands would say, this is that guy Jeff Fader I was telling you about. And the wife would go, oh, yeah. And I said, I stopped the conversation. This happened five times. And I said to the wife or the girlfriend, you don't, he doesn't make you listen to the knife talk, does he? And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm in the car, and now we're listening to knife talk. And I turned to the husband and said, you got to stop it. You got to knock it off. You don't put them through it. They don't need it. They don't need, oh, we're very supportive. There are all these very supportive partners with these wide-eyed and bushy-tailed people, and the wives and the girlfriends were all very, oh, yeah, we listen to knife talk. I'm like, yeah. You don't want to listen to this bullshit. Come on. Yeah.
So we probably have a higher percentage of female listeners than we think.
Forced.
They've been forced to listen. It's not the handmaid. Its tail. It's just like, you're not allowed to read. You've got to sit there and listen to this.
Yeah, this is like Stockholm syndrome, literally. More Swedes than we could deal with. I have some funny stories. I can't even tell on the podcast because with the Tormek guys were fantastic.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, there were tons of in terms of innovation. You know, I saw Brian House was there. He had a big booth and all. He had his Apollo Forge and his new grind, the Tsunami or something like that. It's a big grind. Everybody had a lot of stuff going on. There was it was cool to see. I wish there were more blacksmithing guys. Like I tried to get some of my hammer guys to come because they would really kind of clean up. I mean, there was a lot of interest. So, but you know, people come from all Australia. People coming from all over Europe and Australia. It was great to see Alberto Alfredo Facci Pieri. He was fantastic. I talked to him for a long time. It was great to see him. He listens to the podcast. Boy, he's unbelievable. So yeah, you'd really get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it would be cool just to put faces to all these names because, as you mentioned last week, I mean, this show survives because, you know, listeners contribute in, but we generally get a very small percentage of those listeners that are always contributing. So we get to know, you know, their names and almost their personalities. So it would be good to put a face to those people.
Well, yeah. I also had to explain to our friends from Sweden that this is also a cross section of America. This is a small sample size of what Americans actually are like. I mean, otherwise,
this isn't America's finest.
I mean, it's a lot of them are America's finest, but it also is just like the long beards, the cowboy hats, and then there were a lot of cowboy hats, and then there were the hats, and then the, you know, combat pants, and everybody looks like they're about to, you know, storm the Capitol, so to speak. Respectful or get pardoned, but I made that joke too. But I had to explain it. Like, just to let you know, this is a small sample size of the beautiful country of America. Don't think that, you know, but it was great. It was great. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs and, you know,
good stuff.
So
good stuff.
So we have questions. We have a news story. Unless you want to stick, or you want to save the news story.
Let's go to a news story. Because I've just seen the title of it and I'm intrigued.
Yes. All right. So, guys, if you're a knife maker and you're using liquid nitrogen, cryo, sometimes you got to get liquid nitrogen. So I have this very tenuous relationship with our welding supply company because I have a Dewar that I got from Rick Dunkerley, who just got inducted in the Blade Show Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Rick. He ain't listening to this, but congratulations nonetheless. And, by the way, I saw Will Stelter. And we reenacted years ago, he was posing with a sword. And behind him were me and Josh Prince. And I gave him the finger. I'm going to text it to you. And we reenacted it, but we flipped it around. It's a fantastic, fantastic picture. I'll send it to you in a sec. So when you're doing cryo, you need to get the liquid nitrogen. And then my welding supply store, sometimes he gives me a good price. Sometimes he gets me a bad price. I've said this before. I hate it because, you know, you're just like, so you're trying to make chit chat and stuff like that. And I ask him how many people, and he remembers me now. And I said, why, you remember me now? And he goes, yeah, well, there are not that many people who get liquid nitrogen. And he says, just make sure, you know, I have some guy who, you know, signed their death warrant and they're not allowed to buy. That's his expression. They're banned from getting liquid nitrogen. I said, oh, yeah, why do you say that? He said, because he wanted to use it for food. He wanted to use it for ice cream.
And is that was great.
Well, right. So he, I said, well, what's the story with that? I thought liquid nitrogen is liquid nitrogen. And he said, well, when somebody calls for liquid nitrogen, the first thing we do is we see if they're at a restaurant. And if it's a restaurant, we have to ban them. We have to take their number down, take their name down, and make sure we never buy from them because it's very dangerous. And I said, well, what's so dangerous about it? He goes, well, they test liquid nitrogen differently, medical grade, food grade, something like that. So he says there's this candy called Dragon's Breath that got a lot of these kids sick. So I said, Dragon's Breath candy? And he goes, yeah. So I looked it up and I found this article about Dragon's Breath candy. So Indonesia is warning people against consuming liquid nitrogen after more than 20 children were harmed eating a street snack known as Dragon's Breath, that it's at the center of a dangerous new viral video trend. Now, this is 2019, so, you know, we passed the point of no return.
Yeah.
The children suffered burns on their skin, severe stomach pains, and food poisoning after consuming the colorful candies, according to Indonesia Ministry of Health, which is urging parents and teachers and local health authorities to be vigilant. The candies are dipped in a liquid nitrogen to create a vapor effect when eaten. They're popular with children, and dozens have uploaded clips on TikTok showing them blowing fumes out of their mouth, nose, and ears. One video shows the preparation of the snack by a street vendor has been viewed 10 million times. Around 25 children have been hurt and consumed by candies, including two that were hospitalized. Using liquid nitrogen in food preparation is not illegal. Top chefs often use the vapors to create a theatrical effect when serving dishes. It's clear, colorless, and odorless. The commonly used in medical settings as an ingredient to freeze food. However, properly, it can be very hazardous. Liquid nitrogen is not only dangerous when consumed, but it can cause severe breathing difficulties from the fumes. There was a case in 2022, according to the ministry, when a child from this village in East Java suffered burns from the skin after eating the snack. More cases reported in November, December, including a 4-year-old boy in high school. Blah, blah, blah. So what the guy from the welding supply store said is that it displaces oxygen. So yeah. There were some cases in the United States where it was like people were like, they were asphyxiating because they had whatever, a little bit of the liquid nitrogen in the food, and then they're breathing up. My kid sent video from when he sent my kid out like probably 5 years, 4 or 5, you know, before the pandemic. And they were in San Francisco and they were eating this ice cream that had liquid nitrogen. They're sending videos breathing out the fucking, you know, the fumes.
Yeah. So, and it was, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So they, all these welding supply stores they don't want to be responsible for that shit.
No.
And so it was really interesting. And I thought it was an interesting conversation topic because, I mean, I was always wondering, well, what's the big deal? And it's like, well, because there are people who make ice cream with it.
It was very popular a few years back.
Right.
It? Yeah.
Right.
They got those cold plates and that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so that, I thought that was pretty interesting. And my guy was just like, just don't say it. And then he ended up, guess what he charged me for? He charged me 10 for 10 liters instead of 20 liters. He only charged me $140. I was like, dude, you are my guy. You are my guy. Of course, he couldn't spell my name, but I didn't give a shit. And like,
Joff.
Yeah, he was just like, it's Jeffrey, not Jeff. I'm like, all right, dude, just whatever. I don't call me whatever the fuck you want. Give me that good price. I don't care. So yeah, I thought
it was some ice cream to make.
Yeah. I got some Dragon's Breath to make. I gotta kill some kids. What are you talking about? Send some kids to the hospital. Well, you're wasting my time here.
Right. Let's do some questions before we do.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
And ask for Mike.
Go ahead.
Okay, questions, we got them. So if you've got a question for us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. We particularly like audio questions, so go to DM us and DM us an audio chunk and we play it out on the show. But Gary Green has sent us a message saying, I asked AI to come up with a question for a knife related podcast. Here it is. Right, okay. What's the most unexpected lesson you've learned from making knives, whether it's about craftsmanship, patience, or even life itself? And that's from Mike Hunt Whistles Limited.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, man. These people. Gary Green.
These people. This is the part where the wives aren't supposed to be listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to let you know, all you girlfriends and wives listening, this is your husband's fault, not ours. This is your partner's fault, not ours. He's making you do this. So if he's making, not us, it's him.
So we're actually getting AI-generated questions now. Yeah. Okay.
That's like a 3RQ question.
Yeah. Okay. The most unexpected lesson you've learned from making knives, whether it's about craftsmanship, patience, or even life itself. Unexpected lesson, or biggest surprise, I suppose, let's call it a surprise rather than a lesson, is the community that's out there. I didn't expect, when I started this podcast all those years ago, I started just to grill people for answers to questions that I had. And before I knew it, I realized there's this whole mass, you know, thousands and thousands of people out there who are doing what I consider to be something very, very niche. I suppose it still is. But there's just so many people out there doing it. And people are so open. Well, I say people, most people are so open. And, you know, there's a real sort of help each other out community out there.
I want to tell you how I'm going to give you some cred, major cred. I was talking to our friend Bob Rankin. Remember Bob?
Yes.
He's such a great guy. And he was talking to me about, he told me that he was talking to, you know, Coy Baker, Baker Forge?
Yes, yeah, Baker Forge, yeah.
So Baker Forge, who now is one of the big guys in the United States, right? He heard your interview with Bob on the original Knife Talk and thought, I could do this. So you helped create Baker Forge.
Hmm.
You're part Amazing. Of it. You're part of you really this podcast and
I expect
you.
My revenue share to be
Yeah. Give him pay the man. You heard him, pay the man. But no, seriously, but it is amazing how many people have started their business through thinking, maybe I could do this like these three jerk offs, you know, and it is amazing. But that was really cool. But it was really great hearing that, and I just needed to pass that on to you. You know, you have amazing. Been very influential in a lot of people ruining their lives.
Not me, because I mean, when I started this, I went for the big guys. I went straight in. I mean, we had
Walter Sorrells.
Walter Sorrells.
Alex Steele.
I think Alex Steele was the first. We had Bob Kramer on.
That was crazy.
I went for the big guys knowing that more people would listen because nobody's going to listen to me. Then obviously getting you and Mareko involved as well. You know, it's been a lovely surprise seeing how there is this community out there. And people do listen to us, which is mad.
It's crazy. There's a lot of people out there. And I was Bob was really just like, you know, it was pretty amazing. I was shocked at how many people said, you know, you really helped me. Knife Talk has really helped me through a lot of tough times. So, yeah, hey, listen, we do make it happen. And we ruin marriages. And you know, all these poor people have to bring their wives to this thing, and
we're still ruining marriages. That's,
yeah, that's our slug line.
Okay, Jeff, the most unexpected lesson you've learned from making knives.
Your answer is about as good as it gets. I did the one unexpected was I probably gained more confidence. Like I was surprised at how, you know, figuring out how to do this right, figuring out how to do the customer service. I was surprised at how much a return business I have, and that was not what I expected. You know, I didn't expect to create my own community with Vader Knives, where I have people buying knives over and over again, using us as gifts and stuff like that. So, the biggest surprise was how important customer service is. In plus, what we do with the company, that was a much bigger surprise. I knew that it was going to be my old man, my old lead man, John Ledford, was here, and we were talking about how we hated making railings because you got to pick them up and flip them over, and then you got to flip them over to paint them and weld them and all that. You don't have to lift anything over 25 pounds. It's fantastic. But the return, creating a business where you have return business, was a huge surprise.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
Okay, cool. Do you want to read the next one?
Yes, the next one comes from MRC Customs. MRC Customs says, "What's up, boys? I got a buffer for Christmas. I still haven't opened it because I don't know the best order of operations. I plan on using it for blades because I use a fair amount of lighter color handle material. When should I use it? At the end of the hand sanding or before wax or after wax or at some point? Thanks."
Okay, buffers. Yeah. They can be very... I'm not sure what you're making, but if you're doing full tang knives, and let's say you've got, you know, holes drilled in that tang, via pins or whatever they may be. So you want to do any buffering before you put handles on anyway, because you want that transition to be nice. But if you've got holes in, what I like to do with buffers, if you think of the buffer as a clock, that wheel as a clock, anything between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. facing you, you're good. You should be good. It's less likely to grab. The minute you go out of those sort of those angles, that you've got that sort of 90-degree angle, I suppose, the minute you go out of them, it's likely to want to just pick whatever you've got buffing, your blade in this case, it's likely to want to pick that off you, spin it around, and throw it back at you. So what I like to do, I like to get just a piece of 2x4, really simple. I've got a screw in one, and I literally just place the blade over, you know, the hole in the tang, over that screw. And then I know that the blade is being held down and flat, but also it can't be pulled away from me because that screw is stopping, you know, it's stopping anything from being pulled out of your hand, or in this case, off the 2x4. Yeah, and I've never had an incident since doing that. It's the most simplest thing you could ever do. But I've never had an incident with a buffer sort of grabbing, doing that way. But generally, I do it at the end. You certainly want to do it after hand sanding. I wouldn't use a buffer that's too abrasive, thinking, oh, I can get away with not hand sanding. Maybe I can get a satin finish with a really tightly packed buffer. You're not really going to get a great finish. So I generally use them at the very, very end. I tell you who's great at using them is Fingal. Ugh, the finishes he gets.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. Incredible. Use a couple of different sort of rouges. I've got a bunch of different ones, yellow, pink, and like a brownish one as well. And they're basically like different grits. Think of them as different grits. Just at the end, it can get quite hot as well. So, you know, I don't think you're going to get to the point where you're messing with your temper, but it can get hot to the touch where you can burn yourself. So that 2x4 trick really does work. You just hook your blade onto it, and it'll stop it pulling out your hand. You've got a bit of leverage there as well. That's about all I got.
Perfect. That's how we used to, when we were doing mirror, I told you, I was with all these guys from Colombia, and when we had to do mirror finish, they called it mirror. So when we would do the mirror, yeah, you'd screw something down to a board, and that really gave you the ability to not, it's that edge that's going to grab you, or the heel, if you're buffing it from the tip to the end, tip to the heel, you got to make sure that it's not going to rip out of your hands, because it's going to ruin all that work.
And I don't screw it down, to be honest with you. I just have a screw in there with a small head to the screw that's smaller than the holes that you've got drilled in your tang. Hmm. So you just pop it over, you know, and if it does pull, it's just going to pull against that screw.
Right.
So I don't screw it down. I just use it as a hook, basically.
Well, yeah. You could screw it down too.
You could, obviously, you could do
whatever
yes.
you want. Yeah, no, yeah. That's great. I think that one of the things I would you should fool around with is different wheels, because they make different buffing wheels. Some are very soft, some are very hard, and you're going to get a different effect as well. And you got to clean the buffing wheels because they can get dirty. And when but the most important part is what Craig said. And if you're trying to do your blade, if you have a full tang knife, I would do the mirror before you put the handle scales on.
Yeah,
that's definitely the most important thing. It's because otherwise it's just easier to work with.
Another thing is if you've got your mops, you know, permanently on there. And generally you'll have two, one either side of, you know, you'll have an arbor going through and the rest of it. If you're in a shop where you may be grinding as well, so there could be, you know, steel particles through the air and stuff like that, you want to keep them clean. So shower caps that you get in hotels, they're great. They fit over them perfectly and they stop any sort of dust and shit getting on them. Because what will happen, especially if you're using those really sort of loose mops that aren't stitched, any sort of dust can get right in there. And it can really stay in there for a long time. So, yeah, just stick those shower caps on them when you're not using it. And it protects those mops as well, keeps them clean.
I'd play around with them if I were you and see what happens. You'd try different rouges and all that stuff. So, yeah,
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Love
cool.
it.
Where are we?
Anton.
Anton Swear or Anton's Wear, one of those. Hey guys, I've got family traveling to Paris at the end of next month. Just curious what makers need there I should check out, and hopefully I'll be able to do some shopping. Haha. Thank you very much. I don't know any makers in Paris.
I'm trying to find where our man Brian Rakin is. You know, remember him?
Yes, yeah, possibly Paris.
Brian Rakin is in Auvergne. Auvergne.
So that's more sort of mountainous.
Oh,
sort
sorry,
of
that was yeah, bad. Brian, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, Brian. Yeah, he. But you know, I would think that I don't know. I'm sure that there's a lot of guys in Paris. I know that you know. Obviously, Craig is not too far from Thiers. So I mean, I don't know how far Thiers is from.
Oh, I'm 7 hours from Paris. Yeah, France is pretty big. But what I would say is they have amazing suppliers here of things. So I've mentioned before, Mercon are great for handle materials. They've got hundreds and hundreds of different types of handle material. So that's mercon.fr. So if you've got people coming over, maybe they can get some stuff, you know, they can bring back in a suitcase for you. We mentioned a lot of steel supplies. Eurotechni are based in France. They're based in Thiers. And they seem to be supplying everyone around the world with their steel. So you can get some really good deals there as well. So if it is a case of, you know, being able to take stuff back, I'd certainly look at Mercon.fr and you'll get some sort of really unique handle materials that you wouldn't necessarily get anywhere else. But with regards to makers, I don't know. I'm pretty much in the wilds here, out here on my own. I don't really know what goes on. I said Paris is a world away from where I am. Really is.
I would look up, hashtag some people. See if you can find, Parisian knife makers. I don't know. It's a good question. But you're not on a once again, you're on vacation. Your parents, your family don't want to see you, they want to drag you to somebody's shop. Yeah. You know? Don't leave them alone. Just have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we've got an audio question coming up, but I'm going to tell everybody about TexasFarrierSupply.com. If you're a knife maker or farrier, bladesmith, however you identify, head on over to TexasFarrierSupply.com because they've got everything you could possibly need, including RhinoWet by Endasa. So if you are doing any sort of hand sanding, let's face it, we all need to do hand sanding, make it easy on yourself and just use the best stuff, which is Endasa RhinoWet. So they sell it at Texas Farrier Supply. Head on over, use KnifeTalk10 to get 10% off your entire order. And I'm sure they'll be happy, and you'll be very happy by going to TexasFarrierSupply.com.
This next audio question comes from our man Fernandez Forge. And if you want to send us your audio questions, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. You can send us your questions, your dilemmas, your feedback. And our man Fernandez Forge has done that, and here he goes.
All right, I got a question, guys. How many knives could you make if you got back every minute you spent looking for something that you weren't sure was even there?
Huh? He's even Foley work. He opened closing drawers.
I was going to say, he's looking for stuff as he's sending that message. Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I'm finding the older I get, I'm always just looking for stuff at the moment, being frustrated, looking for stuff. One of those things, unfortunately. It'd be lovely to have a nice, clean environment to be in where you knew where everything was at all times. But, if you're busy, that's a good thing too.
I hated being in shops where I was looking for something. I was in two metal shops where everyone had their own toolbox and you're looking for something, and I hated not being able to find what I was looking for. So when I did Fader Knives, I really only keep the tools and the things, like I don't buy a pile of drill bits. I only bring in the ones that I need. And I only have the tools in here that I need. And I really have I have them out in different places, and there's not a lot of searching around. The searching around is for stupid shit like a pen that works.
Yeah.
You know, that's my biggest problem is a pen that works. David makes fun of me because, like, you know, I'm always, like, asking for pens, and who the hell knows where they all go. But we're not always – I find myself, the older I get, to, like, the less stuff out around, the better I am. And that has been huge. It's been huge. Huge.
Yeah. And we've taken out of the house as well recently, so – yeah, our kitchen, we've tried to clear all those surfaces, you know, coffee machines away in cupboards and, you know, everything. And, yeah, it just makes life easier, doesn't it, you know? So, yeah. Oh. Okay. Do you want to tell everybody about how great Lawrence is?
I spent the whole day with Lawrence at Lloyd Lake at Maritime Knife Supply. He's fantastic. He's very smart. Not only is he a great business person, he has a company called Maritime Knife Supply, but he's a facilitator. So he's very, very interested in talking to people and trying to figure out what they need and how they can help him better, how he can help better. So go to maritimeknifesupply.com, and if you put in the promo code, there's no promo code, but if you buy a 10-pack of abrasive belts, you can get 10% off. He always says, the reason why I don't have a promo code is the price is going to go up. That's all. He's like, he gives you the best prices available, so there's no reason for a promo code. But he is fantastic, and he's very involved with New England School of Metalwork. He's very involved with the Center for Metal Arts. And if you're in the United States or if you're in Canada, he got your back. And if you have tariff questions, ask him, because he's really, really smart about everything, and he knows how to make things happen. So I am a huge fan. Many thanks to my man, Lawrence Lake at Maritime Knife Supply.
There we go.
Okay.
I've just read the next question quickly from Nick Bigham on Instagram. Nick Bigham. do you want to read this?
Go ahead.
He says, "Hey, KTP, I see your post asking for questions and audio, etc. I currently have 4 questions that haven't been answered. I'm just reaching out to find if I've offended in some way against one or more of you. Or was the questions not expansive enough for talking points? I'm not writing this to whinge or complain, so please don't take it that way. I'm a small hobby maker that is quite removed from the maker community. You guys are my only real source of good knowledge. Kind regards, Nick." Nick.
I have an answer. I have a good answer. I even answered him.
We shadow banned him a long time ago.
No. I was reading this last night, and I wrote back to him. I'm going to explain what happens. Well, you know, will you say what you want to say, and then I'll respond.
This is nothing to do with me, right? So all the hard work of the show, Jeff does. Jeff compiles all the questions, and he puts them on a list that we work our way through. So don't blame me, Nick, okay? Oh. Get back to Jeff, okay?
Well, I responded to Nick, and I'm going to explain how it
speak
works.
Speak to HR.
I'm going to explain how it works. And it has nothing to do with Nick. Nick does a great job. He had an audio question that I wanted to wait for Mareko, because it was a Mareko question. So, okay. Like, sometimes the way we try to do the show is not – it's to be – you know, those questions are supposed to start a conversation. So if some of the questions are only good for one person, I may just kind of bump it, only because I'm trying to get all of us involved. Like, today's a good day to not talk about Damascus, because our main Damascus guy isn't here. So I have to try to kind of, like, figure out each episode what might sound best, and I want everybody to be involved. I don't want anyone to feel left out. Any of our, you know, me, Mareko, or Craig, we're all different. So I'm trying to think about that, and I'm also trying to think about if we don't have experience in something. Like, if there's sometimes people ask us questions that I know that the three of us don't have any experience in, and we just aren't going to, what are we going to say? I don't know. It's just like some questions just don't make it, but it has nothing to do with you. It's just like, and you know, sometimes you don't get to things. We have 3RQ, we got feedback with all this stuff. So don't take it bad. It's funny. I was going to play his audio message, but then Mareko is going to be here. I want to wait for him because it's going to be a better impact. So I ask every week for questions because sometimes something new will come in that I think might be interesting for the show. So it has nothing. You have completely, you're fantastic, Nick, and we're with you. And I just, you know, sometimes things don't make it. We're running out of time. Like today, I know we're going to run out of time. I don't even know if they're going to make it to 3RQ today, which is, you know, that's the way it is. So keep sending in your questions. Sometimes, you know, sometimes somebody sends in the same thing over and over again, and it's just like, doesn't make it. Or sometimes there are people who have sent things and they're breaking balls and they're a little bit too familiar with the three of us. And like sometimes there'll be something cutting towards one of us. And maybe I don't like that. And I'll just kind of cut it loose. There have been things where, you know, hey, you and not you. There's them, and I'm just like,
they're talking about me, aren't they?
I get my balls broken the most, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm not going to allow one of my friends, Mareko Craig, I'm a censor some of them, because this is like, I want it to be a good show. So yeah. Don't take it badly. I got your audio question. We're going to do your audio question. But you also, when you want to do a question, think about how it's going to sound on the podcast too. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't do,
yeah.
for all of it, none of us do mocha mame or whatever the hell it is. Don't ask about it, because it's just like, clearly neither one of us know what mocha mame is. Yeah. I don't even think that's a thing. So
Makami? I don't know what it's
yeah,
called.
See, that would be a dumb question for us.
Yeah.
You know, we're the best in the game. Now, we still have listener feedback, and we have 3RQ. And
Let's do a quick listener feedback, and we'll do a quick 3RQ.
Okay. I love 3RQ. All right. So,
I've got something to blame. You're in trouble for last week's 3RQ, actually.
I'm in trouble?
We'll get to that in a minute. Yes,
oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Let's do some feedback.
Maybe we should save the 3RQ for next week, and we can run the clock down with you and tell me how much trouble I'm in. So here's another one I got from Zach Mapes. So I got to save it for Mareko. It was just a compliment for Mareko. I will read it because it's funny. This is from Zach Mapes. I'm supposed to save it from Reco. I'll read it again next week. Blade Show feedback on the drive down to Atlanta. My daughters and I were listening to Blade Show preview with Jeff and Reco. The daughters are 11 and 13. Zach, what are you doing to us? The girls are excited to attend Mareko's classes on Friday morning. And at the end of the class, my 11-year-old said, he cusses a whole lot less in real life. So good job, Mareko. I thought that was hilarious after great information. That was her first thought. Safe travels. So Zach Mapes, I'll read that for Mareko. Ronald Handmade says, what's the most valuable lesson I've learned from a mistake? Well, let's just say my second marriage is pretty fucking amazing. So. Oh, and this is a good one too. I saved this one. We have a listener. His name is Hone by Jones. He's a knife sharpener, and he's fantastic, great guy. Mm. And we were talking about Tormek, and somebody asked about sharpening serrations. And I actually have. I'm glad I saved this one because I actually talked to the Tormek guys. So Hone by Jones says, "Hi guys, listening to your latest podcast. Yes, you can sharpen serrations on a Tormek. There's some companies that make." Curved profile wheels specifically for Tormek. By the way, there are now several companies making aftermarket products for Tormek. So there are aftermarket products for Tormek, and I actually brought this up to Sebastian, who is the main sales guy from Tormek. Actually, if you ever look up the Tormek like stickers, there's him giving two thumbs up. Sebastian's outstanding. So I asked him about, you know, we got a message about aftermarket companies making wheels for the Tormek. I mean, you could think it. I mean, it's just got the standard Arbor. You could probably put anything on there. And he's very aware of the aftermarket companies that are making products to fit the Tormek. And here's the problem. Number one is, they make so many different jigs and stuff, and they do make so many different tools. But it's based on they'll manufacture them based on the demand. The problem with the serrations is that there's just not enough demand for them to make. A wheel just
the
for serration. Right.
Yeah.
So what he was telling me about is like, yeah, we know about these guys. There's a guy in Australia and then there's another guy and we monitor them. We don't like, you know, they don't send out letters saying, you know, cease and desist or anything like that. We think, you know, we're not going to make those things anyway, maybe down the line, who knows, but they don't condone it, but they're also like, you know, look, people are going to do what they're going to do. So it was interesting because he's just like, they're actually very well aware of all the knockoff Tormex, and they're trying to do something about that. But it was interesting because the other thing is when you start to make aftermarket products for Tormek, people seem to think they're connected to Tormek, and they don't want to really create a separation between these people selling products. They're selling products, aftermarket products for the Tormek, and they just don't want to be involved because if something goes wrong, you know, they don't want nothing to do with it. There's nothing to do with them. So they were very cool, and it was really interesting just kind of listening to what a real business says about these kinds of things. There's not a whole lot you can do, you know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And then there's a long one we could save for later, but it sounds like I'm in trouble.
You are in trouble. So you asked about...
please be your
I can't remember how you
please be your trip to your trip on the boat. Not about the
yes. So the I think the question was that the craziest decision
the most
you've
adventure
made
the most adventurous thing you've done.
Yes, yeah, and I recalled buying a boat.
That was amazing.
Back a long time ago, and I've been thinking about that a lot this week. So we fly back to the UK tomorrow morning, 5 p.m. tomorrow. My wife and I are going to look at a new boat.
Oh my! You're telling me. Wait a second. You're telling me that.
So you're not in trouble, but you certainly kickstarted the whole thing. And my wife's quite happy actually. She's like, yeah, let's go and have a look at the boat. So. So who knows? This time tomorrow, we could be. We could have a new.
Then, I mean, you gotta name it after me. Then it's gotta be.
It's not new as in brand new. So it's already named. And
you can change the name. You can change the name.
No, you can't change both names.
Fader.
It's very bad luck.
The federal.
The fader.
The federal express.
It's actually it has got a name. What is it? Give me a second. I'll tell you the name. Now.
I hope it's like.
I think it's quite a cool
the
name.
The golden douchebag. Oh, it's gotta
it
be
bad. It is called the Vital Spark.
Oh God!
The Vital Spark.
That's the name of the podcast. That's the name of this episode. Oh, the Vital Spark.
That is a great title for the podcast. You're right. I am. What's going to be America's Fine? I tell you what, it's America's Finest and the Vital Spark.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh my God, the Vital Spark. God damn it! Is that the reason why you're looking at it? Because it said the Vital Spark.
We didn't know the name. But I've been speaking to the guy a bit more today.
Tell me about the boat.
You're
crazy. I feel terrible.
It's just like a little sort of family cruiser. So we can get the kids out because we've never had a boat since we've had the kids. We've always had boats, but we've got like a small dinghy now, you know, just for rivers around the lakes around here. But you know, something that we can go away for weekends and things like that. And I think the kids are sort of big enough now to be able to do that safely. So it's not huge. It's I think it's 28 foot, and it's old, you know, but it's a little family cruiser.
Is it a sailboat? So
sailboat? Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So how many rooms does it have?
It's got three sort of sleeping cabin things. They're not rooms. They're like cupboards with beds in, really. You know, they're pretty small.
The Vital Spark.
The Vital Spark, yes.
I love it. You must have been like, it's kismet. It's kismet. Amy, the Vital Spark. That's it. I mean, there's no turning back now. I mean, how far would you put it from your house?
Well, it'll be left in the UK. So when we go over to the UK, it'll be there for summers because we're in the UK all this summer. So I'm there this weekend. Now we come back Monday, and then on the 1st of July, when the kids break up from school, we head back over. We drive over, and we're there for 8 weeks.
Are you going to be one of those families that like parties on the dock?
Not on an old 28-foot.
That's what these guys. What all these old altar cockers do here in our off the rip. There's this whole like we met these friends and then I thank God they didn't invite us, but the whole boat thing is such a production because you got to clean the boat and then you got to bring the food before your friend and then you invite the friends and then the friends bring this and then you have to clean the boat afterwards and it sounded like such a fucking pain in the ass. But they all hang out in the dock. And they're bored, and everyone goes from boat to boat, drinking and eating canapes, and
a lot of swinging, I'd imagine. Every Friday in all of the marinas, Friday afternoons, they always have like a marina get together, so everybody gets together and they have barbecues and drinks and all that kind of stuff. But we'll probably stay clear of that, you know. My swinging days are done.
Oh, have mercy! Talk about a Vital Spark. That actually is a pretty damn good name. For a boat.
It is a cool name, isn't it? Yeah. And I literally found out that name, about 5 hours ago? But now it's good.
The Vital Spark.
Yes.
Hilarious. Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize. I mean, you know, you love to spend money. So, I mean, it's not like I inspired you to run a marathon or something like that. It's like, and I inspired you to buy something.
True. Jeez. Quite true. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Right, talking about buying stuff, right, if you need to buy any sort of stainless Damascus, where would you buy it?
Oh, I would go to Carly at Damasteel. You want me to keep going, all right? Damasteel AB is unbelievable. Damasteel is fantastic. And the knives that they brought to to the blade show was they were incredible. Damascus steel is the best pattern welded steel. It's all very repeatable. I was really interested talking to them in regards to their process, and you know, the people who use the Damascus steel are the best of the best. And stainless Damascus is the future. There's no question about it. So go to damascusteel.ab, see what the fuss is about, and you can participate in the Damascus steel build along. And they're going to, they have a whole link on their website, damascusteel.se, in regards to that. You can buy the steel for the Damascusteel build along, at Maritime Knife Supply. And then you can join us for the Damascusteel build along where we make these knives. And then we'll have the, Damascusteel, DS, the Damascusteel Chef Invitational, where we'll have a great online event. It's going to be in November, and there's going to be voting, and there's going to be people and prizes, and you know, you'll be able to have some fun and meet people virtually. You could be in your underwear in your apartment. So definitely go to our friends at damascusteel.ab.
Amazing.
And I also got a picture. Carly sent me a picture. She got all of the sponsors. The only people who didn't get in there at time were the Even Heat and Ryan Brabeck because they were too busy. But she got a picture of us, and I'm going to post the picture of me and Mareko and Carly and the Damascusteel people and the Tormek people. And it was really cool. Really, really cool.
Cool. Send it to me, and I'll have that as the title picture for the show.
Yes, we'll do.
Cool. Cool. Okay, well, should we do a quick 3RQ before we go?
Yes, we should definitely do a 3RQ. Guys, this is the new thing, 3RQ, three random questions. We had such a good time last week with the 3RQ. Now I have to find some. 3RQ, three random questions. What's your favorite midnight snack?
Ooh, I'm currently trying. Yeah, we're cutting down sort of eating after 9 p.m. at the moment because we're terrible
yeah.
for snacks in front of TV. I never wake up hungry, to be honest with you. Do you know what is a big treat? Coming down, like you wake up in the middle of the night, you come downstairs, you open the fridge, cold, ice cold milk.
Oh, gross.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh my God.
It's the best. That feels like a real treat because I'm trying to cut down on the amount of dairy and milk that I have.
Is it whole milk?
So, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
You
yeah.
just glug, glug,
Do you know
glug?
What? I think anything needs to be whole. Like, if you're going to do anything, do it in moderation, but do it properly. You know? And it's like, we're talking about, we're going back this weekend now, and like, we always miss like Indian food, like Indian takeaway
right.
food. And so my wife was like, well, if we're trying to cut down, you know, we could have like, you know, like tandoori sort of dry stuff. You know, it's healthier. I'm like, if we're going to do it,
oh.
you know, like completely do it, but don't do it so often. I think that's my thing. What's the point in denying yourself the pleasure of something by having like a weak, shitty version of something? Don't do it properly, but just maybe do it less.
You should just say to Amy when she says that stuff, don't you understand? Getting what you want is the vital spark. You should say vital spark all the time. You should say this is the getting the good Indian food. That's the vital spark.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The thought of drinking milk is so grotesque to me. I can't even stand it. We don't have any real milk in the house. We have a little almond milk, and then yeah. I have this almond milk creamer for the coffee. That's dynamite. I use that, but I don't fuck with dairy milk anymore. Butter, yes. Mm-hmm. Cheese, yes. But I don't know. But something weird about milk. I don't even like it in my coffee anymore. So
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's weird. Wow. Fucking weird.
Well, strangely, it's difficult. Like, fresh milk is difficult to get here in France because everybody has the, you know, the sort of the sterilized long-life milk,
right.
you know, the,
right.
the shitty right. stuff. I can't drink that. That stuff's terrible. But there's a few shops where you can get it locally and, you know, good proper milk. And, oh, it's the best.
When I'm in Europe, cold. I love it. I'm like, but when I'm home, it's like, you know, there's no milk in the refrigerator. I tell you what the best snack is. I love it. I love this shit, and it's expensive. Non-sweetened dried mango strips. Like, you know, dried mango, but you don't get the sugar one.
Yeah.
Just get the fucking non-sweetened ones. It's like it's like those when you were a kid, you had those fruit rolls, you know, fruit roll
like
up.
The sour, it's pucker you up.
They're sweet. They're I eat the shit out of dried mango, but not with extra sugar.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, what's the best costume you've ever worn to a party?
Oh, I'm not one for costumes.
Never?
I'm sure I have. I can tell you exactly the date, right? The day Prince Charles and Lady Diana got married.
Here goes Cyprus.
So this is how...
There goes Cyprus.
Oh, I celebrated in a big way.
Deep cut, ladies and gentlemen.
I must have been probably about 5 or 6 years old. And I remember that in the UK, whenever there's some sort of royal party, for whatever reason, a wedding or anniversaries, whatever, people, they don't do so much now, I don't think, but they used to have like huge street parties where everybody would come out, everybody would bring tables out into the street, everybody would eat, and it would just be like this whole party for the whole, or block party, as you'd probably call it. But this, for some reason, my parents dressed me up as the Incredible Hulk, right? So you can imagine 5-6 year old me now, right? I had these purple shorts on that were ripped, but they put food color, green food coloring, all over my body, right?
I can't believe it. Go ahead.
It's a core memory of mine. I remember standing in the bath, right? And them getting worried because it wasn't coming off.
Oh, my.
And I had some in my eyes, and I was crying. I had to go to school the next day, and I was still green. And I just remember this whole thing. And it's just one of those core memories that I'll always remember. So I suppose that was a costume. It was certainly a dress-up anyway.
Are there any pictures?
I don't have any, but there must
to.
Be.
Unbelievable.
You know what? I'm home this weekend, and I'll be seeing my parents, so I'll ask them. They'll have some. I'll ask them to dig them out, because I'd like to see them again, actually, because, yeah. I mean, who would have thought that food colouring wouldn't stain a child? Do you know what I mean? It's amazing. I was taken into care. It's crazy.
So how long do you think you had the green food colouring on?
Well, I remember going to school with it. Let me find out the date of that wedding. You tell me your best costume, because I know you do it quite regularly, don't you?
By choice, but you know, funny thing is, when I was a kid, there was a product, and it was like it was an inflatable muscles that you would wear under your shirt, and then you had this little squeezer. This was when I was very young, and what it was, it would make you be the Incredible Hulk. You could transform. So you put this like these plastic muscles on. You put your shirt on, and you go pump it, and then the shirt would expand. I wanted it so bad. I said, "Mom, I have to have this." And she says, "That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life." Because I don't know what the hell she thought I was going to do with it. But all of a sudden, I'm like expanding through my clothes. But she just looks at me. She goes, "That is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen." I was like, "I can't get it." But we've been going to Halloween parties since Hillary and I first started going out together. One year when I was living in the city, this is back in 97, I was Captain America, and I had that mask and everything like that, and then we had to go to a party on the subway, so I was doing like the comic book Captain America where he was wearing a trench coat with his Captain America outfit on, and this little boy saw that it said Steve Rogers, which is his name, on the case that was holding the bag that was holding my shield, and he could tell that I had the boots on, everything like that. He goes, "Captain America, what are you doing on the subway?" And I said, "Between you and me, the Red Skull's on the next train." And he was lit up. It was awesome. That was amazing. That was amazing. Going, and then, because I had the mask down, I was wearing a trench coat, so I was Captain America, but hiding Captain America.
Yeah.
And then what else? We did Roddy Piper was good. I was a robot one year. I got and it was a snowstorm, and I put lights on, and I was like, I was trudging through the snowstorm wearing a robot costume. That was really good. But it's going to be hard to beat. This past year, Hillary comes up with Hillary goes crazy. She did a George.
You did Kiss, didn't you?
You did Kiss. One year, yes. Hillary did George Michael, and it was unbelievable. And I painted the BSA jacket, you know, from Faith. We made the Faith jacket. She was an incredible George Michael. That was unbelievable. She was Slash one year. It was amazing. She was David Hasselhoff from Baywatch. That was amazing. And then this year, she says, "I have a great idea. We have these other friends," and she's like, "We should be Kiss." Because we go to this party every year, and everyone's trying to outdo each other. So a group, you know, so I was Gene Simmons, and that was probably the best. The craziest part about being Gene Simmons is I did not realize how long my tongue is. I'm not really one to stick my tongue out, but my fucking tongue is long. And people, I was saying to him,
"Calm down, ladies, calm
dude,
down.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
If you're in the car with your husband at the moment, calm down.
Here's the funniest part. So we all show up together. They come to our house. We go, and they're all art majors. So we did the face. It's the easiest costume. You get the painting right. We looked great. We walked in, and people's jaws were on the ground. And Hillary turns to us and she goes, I don't know if they want to fight us or fuck us. Everybody, man, woman, the whole nine yards. People were just like, I mean, it was like Kiss had showed up. And brilliant. I was talking to this one friend of mine, and we're having a real conversation. I'm dressing like Gene Simmons, and he goes, I can't talk to you looking like this. And then I immediately said, what do you mean? And then I stuck my tongue out like fucking far. He's just like, I got to get out of here. But it was amazing. I mean, it was incredible. That was probably the best. The Gene Simmons and when we were Kiss, it was probably the best.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I've just seen that Charles and Di's wedding was 81, so I was 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
Covered in green dye.
I need baby Hulk. We got to get baby Hulk pics. I need baby Hulk pics. And here's something funny. You can make a decision if you want to. This is the question that I was on the fence about, but I'm going to read it and you obviously don't have to do anything. It says, what's the most embarrassing moment you've ever experienced? Now, here's the problem. With our listeners, some of you fucking guys are a little bit too familiar with us. So if we say something that's humiliating or embarrassing, that doesn't give you the right. You're getting a little snapshot into our lives, but it doesn't necessarily mean we want to get our balls broken by it. Now, of course, you could easily say, well, then you shouldn't have said it. We're very honest. We're not like some of these schlubs in these other podcasts who just like sell you the good stuff. So it's up to you in regards. I was thinking about this morning. I'll just give you the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me. One of them was I accidentally referred to my grandmother who was on death's door. I was in college and I'm very full of myself. And we were going to see Batman 2 with the Penguin and Michael Keaton in the 90s, something like that. And they rolled, it was raining, and they rolled a pink clear poncho over her, and I don't know what came over me, and I said, Grandma, you look like a giant dildo, or something like that. And the whole fucking room got quiet. It was Jeffrey William Fader, and everybody was mad at me. I know I've said this before. It was my uncle wanted to kick the shit out of me. My mother was furious. My grandmother, all of a sudden, now doesn't have dementia. When she hears her grandson call her a giant dildo, all of a sudden she snaps out of it for the fucking one moment where I, completely humiliated myself. That was the worst. And she's like, it was like, I fucking woke her up. I was like, that's all you need to do? Brilliant. That was bad. That was really bad. Yeah. And then they never let me get away with it. But the best part was, I knew, I was like, God, it was really it was really funny. However, it was the wrong audience. So I get on the phone with my dad a week later and I say, my parents are way divorced. And my dad don't give a shit about my mother's side of the family. And he's like, I'm in trouble with St. John's. And he goes, why you say that? And I said, I told him the whole story. And I say, I said, Grandma, you look like a giant dildo or something like that. I've never made him laugh harder. He almost hung up on me. He fell out of the chair. He's laughing so hard. He's coughing and wheezing. And all I can think of is, I knew that was a good joke. And I was furious because, like, God, I had to suffer for that goddamn joke. But I knew that was the hardest I've ever made him laugh over the phone. I was humiliated, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got one. I have mentioned it on the show in the past. Do you know what a Twix bar is?
I remember this story.
So you know what a Twix is.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
Okay.
The floor is
so
yours.
So for those who don't know, you have them in the States,
yes,
then,
sir.
I assume. Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. So
I remember this story. Go ahead.
My wife and her parents, we're all sitting around, and I for some reason I got these Twix bars out, and I was eating one. I turned to my mother-in-law, and actually we weren't married at the time, me and my wife. We were, we hadn't been together that long, I don't think. I turned to my mother-in-law and we weren't too familiar at the time. And I said, hey, Sue, do you fancy a cheeky finger? I didn't realise what I'd said. Amy almost spat her coffee across the room. Everybody started laughing. I don't think my mother-in-law got the reference, yeah. But everybody else did. And yeah, I was sort of dying.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I love that one. As soon as you said, you know what a Twix bar is, it all rushed back at me, that fucking story. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, oh, thank God.
So yeah, never say to your potential future mother-in-law.
Both of our embarrassing stories, both of our stories are funny, but some of them were the wrong audience. That's all.
That's all. Exactly.
Comedy's about the right audience.
Exactly. Yes.
God.
Yes.
Grandma. Hey, Grandma. You look like you're putting on a condom or a giant dildo or an erection or whatever. This is a Roman Catholic, good Roman Catholic woman.
After talking about Catholics, I've got another one. Another one. And this does involve Amy's family again.
Oh, no.
And we were literally just starting to date, like literally just starting. And I think it was Amy's sister's birthday or something. So the whole family went out and Amy was like, do you want to come and meet the whole family? And I'm just like, oh, man. So a little bit nervous. I may have had a few drinks. I can't quite remember the whole situation. Amy's brother was talking about a girl that he just met that he liked. And he said they used to know each other from back a long time ago. Because they used to go to the same church. He said, but she doesn't go to the church anymore. And I said, without thinking, I said, oh, a lapsed Catholic. They're the dirtiest.
That's funny. That's funny.
In front of, and the whole family turned and there's no laughter.
Oh.
Everybody sort of looked at me. And I was just like, oh. And I think I said it because it was inappropriate. And I thought maybe this was sort of maybe stupidly would break
the
ice.
That's bad.
But I think it's a true statement.
Yeah, it's 100% true. It's a fucking good one. So you just have the wrong audience. It's funny
exactly.
When you have the right
audience.
That's all it
is.
I got one last story that I remembered. It was an embarrassing story just because it was. I didn't even say anything. Now, so I was at summer camp summer camp was like the best because I was away from my parents. My parents were divorced. They're both miserable. They didn't want me around. So summer camp was like my oasis, right? So in about 13, 14, it was like, you know, you're doing hiking with, you know, boys and girls. It's co-ed and stuff like that. Now, you get to a certain age. I don't know about this for you. Back in the 80s, I got to a certain age where I was just like, I don't want to wear tidy whiteys anymore. You know, those jockey underpants.
Yes.
I'm going to be like my father and wear boxer shorts. Now, boxer shorts from the 80s were much different than boxer shorts now. Boxer shorts now are almost like, you know, like bike shorts where they're tight to their leg.
They were quite baggy.
Right.
I've got an embarrassing story about that
as well. All right, here we go. So I got the boxer shorts. I got the boxer shorts that my dad had. They were big and loose and they would like move around under your shorts and, you know, you're wearing big shorts and stuff like that, but they gave you no support whatsoever. And they were big.
Yeah.
Well, we would go on these hikes with our sister bunk, and I didn't realize, but all of a sudden I started to notice that every time we were on hikes, some of the girls wanted to hike behind me. And I could never understand. It didn't really dawn on me. I just hiked, you know? We're going up mountains, it's all this shit. And it turned out after a summer, somebody said to me, Do you know why the girls always want to walk behind you? And I'm like, why? She says, because they're looking up your fucking pants because your balls are hanging out from your fucking boxer shorts. And they're all like, you know, if we walk behind Jeff, we can see balls and dick and balls. So I was like, what? She's like, yeah, dude, you never noticed that when you were hiking, you were always at first or there were none of the boys were behind you. It was always the girls because they're looking up your fucking shorts. Fucking balls were hanging out for like the whole summer. It was like the fucking joke. It was a joke. It's like, it's hanging behind Jeff. See old long balls fader. Let's just see what it was like biology class. I had no idea.
Oh, geez. Do you know what? I will tell you my boxer short story. I must have been probably about 7 or 8, right? And this is like early 80s now, early 80s, where times were very different. At 7 or 8 year olds, you can go out and play in the street and, you know,
right.
It wasn't like it is now. It is now. But, you know, I just discovered boxer shorts. And I remember, I don't know why I had them. It's a weird thing for a 7 or 8 year old boy to have. But I had boxer shorts, right? And they had naked ladies on them, right? But they were like cartoons. They weren't like photographed naked, like cartoons of naked ladies. And they had like I know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
A 7-year-old wearing like pornographic boxer shorts.
But anyway, right? So I proudly show. These were my pride and joy. You know, I'm cool. I'm wearing boxer shorts. I'm even cooler than that. They've got naked ladies on them. You know, so I'm. You know, everybody knew about my boxer shorts. You know, in the neighborhood. You know, what a cool kid he is. Everybody must have thought, right? But my mum, right? She had gone to the hairdressers, right? Which is like you know, in the village. And I was out playing with a scooter with my friends. And I needed a shit, right? I needed a shit badly. And I'm like, the house is locked. I don't have a key. I need to go to the hairdressers, get the key, and get back home. I get about halfway, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to get all the way there, get the key, come all the way back. I'm at the point of no return. What am I going to do? Right. What am I going to do? I don't know. End up shitting myself, right? Oh. Right. End up shitting myself. But... being that sort of age, embarrassed, obviously. So I find like a bag, like a plastic carrier bag kind of thing. I sort of tidy myself up. I put these boxer shorts in there, right? And I'm thinking, now what do? I can't put them in the bin because my mum would find them or somebody'd find them in the bin. So where we live, there's like an electricity pylon station, one of those things, right? Big wall around it. I'm thinking, I'm just going to lob this bag over there now. And on the top, they had these, like, it wasn't barbed wire. There was, like, these spinny, spiny
concertina
things.
Concertina wire.
To stop people climbing over. Yeah. So I throw this thing, right? This bag gets caught in these things, rips open, right? So there, 20 foot up in the air, and my very distinctive boxer shorts, which everybody knows are mine, with shit all over them. And I'm like, I can't climb. I can't do anything about this. So now they're just on display for the whole neighborhood to see. These boxer shorts, which I proudly showed everybody, now have shit all over them.
That's unbelievable.
That's another core memory.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I got one, but I don't think... I think we should leave on that one. I got a short one. I got one short. We'll get the
go on, do it. Go
same
on, go
summer
on, go
camp, we had to do forced. We had to do forced square dancing. You know, so there's one outside loop, and then there's an inside loop of people, and then as you dance, you go from one person to the next. Now I'm nervous and young, and I'm going to a boys' school, so I'm not really good with women in general or kids or girls and stuff like that. So we're going down the line. And there's this woman that we're trying to make small. You're trying to make small talk and. This girl had a giant chest, and on her shirt were these watermelons. And I'm trying to make small talk, and I don't know what the fuck came over me, and I said,
Spanish melons.
I like your melons. And I was like, she just looked at me, and I was just like, your shirt, your watermelons. And I was like, and thank God we kept moving. I was just like, and there goes Long Balls Fader with a fucking big mouth. Long Balls Fader puts his foot in his mouth again, ladies and germs.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And with that, that's a show.
Can't get much better than that. Can't get much better than that.
Oh, God, that the trauma of those boxer shorts just come back
that's
to me.
That's what 3RQ
Jeez.
Does, ladies and gentlemen. That's what fucking brings it out. Brings it out.
Right, thank you all so much for listening, and we shall be back next week with Morocco, and Morocco will be telling tales of his Blade Show experiences, but until then, keep safe, and we shall speak to you next week. Bye for now.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.